Reservations call 822-3637, 822-3637. Download the app Open Table or online at surfandsirloin.com. The 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn. Just around the corner is the large morning show in the afternoon with Franco Opinion.
Get remarkable results when you partner with licensed or certified estheticians who help ensure advanced skincare treatments support your skincare routine. Because healthy skin needs healthy skincare. See franchised locations or visit massageenvy.com.
Celebrating 55 years as a family-owned St. Louis tradition, G&W makes over 30 varieties of sausage, including Grant's Farm Brats, Beer Brats, Jalapeno Cheddar Brats, Sazitza, Landjager Beef Sticks, and some of the best andouille outside of New Orleans. Get some for your Mardi Gras celebrations. The shop is open Tuesday through Saturday at 4828 Parker Avenue in South City.
You can't beat G&W meat.
In sports, good offense starts with good defense. The professionals at Lakeside Roofing believe in this same motto for your roof. Our full-time service department provides the defense to ensure you get the most out of your roof system. A regular schedule of roof assessment and maintenance is the defensive strategy to extend the life of your roof. Call the winning team at Lakeside Roofing today at 618-344-2800 or 314-241-5253 or visit us on the web at lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
We are 135,000 members strong, lifting local for 35 years. We are more than a gym membership, with more St. Louis locations than anyone. We are your neighbors, friends, and family, investing in our community for healthier, happier lives. We welcome every dream, every goal, every body. We are Club Fitness. Our offer is now extended. Join by February 28th for $10 a month with no contract or free enrollment. Lift local and make a difference in your life and our community.
You know you're doing something right when you're a locally owned St. Louis family restaurant open for 25 years. Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270, serving only USDA prime beef. And as for the seafood, Surf and Sirloin has always acquired its fish whole so the product can be inspected on site to ensure quality and integrity. When you want high-end steak and seafood options, white tablecloth dining, go to where St. Louisans have gone for over a quarter century. Surf and Sirloin. For reservations, call 822-3637 or at surfandsirloin.com.
Wow, has it really been 10 years? Denise from Appliance Discounters here to tell you that time really does fly when you're having fun. My brother Tony and I started out with one location and one appliance line and have now grown to six locations, a variety of appliance lines, including GE, and an amazing Appliance Discounters family. We love serving the St. Louis area and are so grateful for the customers that have put their trust in us. We know you can shop anywhere, but at Appliance Discounters, we'll always treat you right. Thank you to our customers for 10 successful years, and we look forward to many more to come.
Hey, it's Rich with Mold Solutions. It's time. That's right, spring training. That means warmer weather, high humidity, and higher potential for mold. Your friends at Mold Solutions are committed to keeping you and your family safe from mold so you can focus on Redbird winning baseball, grilling, and good times. If anyone in your family is suffering from mold-related health issues or you have mold concerns, contact Mold Solutions for an inspection. Based right here in St. Louis, Mold Solutions is a certified company with five-star ratings. Visit us online at moldstlewis.com or call 314-993-MOLD.
This is Diana with Neustadter's Fine Jewelry. This year we're celebrating 50 years in business. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your lives for over half a century. It's because of you that our small family business thrives in St. Louis. From our family to yours, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street.
How much longer till Thursday? Tomorrow.
And that happy tune is your step.
I'm ready. I'm ready for some time off.
Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk.
When's our next big snow? Can't wait for that.
With those blues.
Tomorrow.
Next 5-degree night.
But not afraid, this rover.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
Oh, I don't see. I don't think that's appropriate at
all.
That
was very inappropriate.
I want to make it clear that our show did not insert that. What happens is a lot of times other shows will sabotage our show. And Lyme, I know you were as shocked as any of us when you just heard that.
Outrage.
That's not what we programmed.
Mm-mm. No.
But there are people in the radio business who feel that way about women, that they should be seen and not heard. Not us.
Nope.
That does not reflect our thinking at all. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It's my second favorite day of the week. Because Monday, I think, we usually have a weekend's worth and a long weekend's worth of stories, anecdotes. I don't know if there's a difference. You know, things that have happened over the weekend. And certainly is better to be 40-something degrees than 5 degrees. And we hope everybody had a good weekend. We're glad you reconnected with us here on this Monday, the 17th of... is that the right date? 17th?
Yes.
I think February.
President's Another Day. Oh.
I'm sorry, what, Dan?
President's Day.
See, this is normally where Dan says nothing.
Oh.
But not today.
No.
Well, as I was going to say, it is the 17th day of February, which I think most of you know, especially if you work in a business, you're lucky enough to be off today. Not radio. Oh, no. Oh, no. Radio goes on, whether it's Martin Luther King Day or Columbus Day or President's Day. It's also another sleepy, dusty Delta Day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta Day.
Well, I know there is a story in the news that I certainly would like to talk about, but this is not about me. This is about the Burke segment, and as was the case with my great history teacher, Mr. Jack Lloyd Burke, he made it about the students in the class for the first 15 minutes when he said these words, "Does anybody have anything to say?"
I do.
Well, jumping right in there, let me introduce to all of you, if you're new to the show, a man who has quite an extensive resume of former jobs, but today he's part of this troop. Tim Woodburn, everybody. You're welcome.
Thank you, Frank. I received a text on the way to the station today from my 48-year-old sister, Jenny, and she has officially been placed on the kidney transplant waiting list as of today.
Oh.
And it's a process. You don't just sign up for that. You have to go through a whole series of diagnostic and other procedures to even be put on that prestigious list. And I made this announcement a month ago. I just want to say it real quick once again. We had a pub crawl to raise money for her in St. Charles on Saturday, where a bunch of people bought hoodies and we bounced around from bar to bar for about 6 hours on Saturday. There were about 300 people that attended this event.
Wow.
And not just for her. It was for her event. There were some other people that were having a pub crawl for, I believe, for charities as well. But we raised a bunch of money, had a great time on Saturday. She officially got on the list today. And for a lot of people out there who don't understand what it takes to be a living donor, if you're ever considering doing that or you know somebody who does, we created a website in her honor. And that website is warriorjennystrong.com. That's Jenny with an I. Warriorjennystrong.com. It answers anybody's questions that you may have about what it takes, who pays for it, what the recovery time is for anyone considering being a living donor of a kidney. Everybody's born with two. You only need one to survive. And all the information is on that website, so I just wanted to congratulate her and remind everyone that that website exists, and may Godspeed come to her in finding a donor.
So I'm guessing to qualify as a recipient, it's based on several things like age, your health, what else? What else
primary,
do you look for?
As I understand it, the primary condition for you to be on the list is what percent your kidney is functioning at, and you can't get on the list unless it's less than 20%.
So it's an urgency issue.
Correct.
It's like some people can hold off longer mm-hmm. than others.
That's
and
correct.
So the people who can't hold off get toward the top of the list
mm-hmm.
quicker.
Yep.
I'd say it's as it should be. And I'm guessing if somebody's 85 years old, they don't have as good. She's 48. She's young.
Right.
So good for her. Good for her. Now, we just have to hope it doesn't take 10 years, that it kind of, and I guess that's determined by what, how many donors are out there, or how many matches?
Well, when you go onto the website, warriorjennystrong.com, it spells this out, but essentially you can say, hey, I want to see if I'm a specific donor for, her name's Jenny Huddleston, And you may not be because of your blood type or some other type of reason, and you have to go through all kinds of criteria and background.
But you might be for somebody else.
Exactly, and that's where they have a match program where it's like, hey, we found a match for you to donate this to somebody. If we find one that's donated for Jenny, will you agree to not give one to her, but give one to somebody in exchange for somebody else giving one to her, and then you can say yes or no to that.
But see, that's a very tough call. I'll tell you why. It's one thing to say, okay, this is a friend of a friend, but then when they call you and say, well, you weren't a match for her, but how'd you like to give a kidney to Bill Schmuckmeyer in Lincoln, Nebraska that you don't even know and never heard of? That's an awkward question to have to answer, because it's one thing to be willing to give up a kidney. Yes, you only need one, but now if something happens to that one you have left,
right.
So does that make sense that if they call and said, okay, but here's who you are a candidate for, and no, I don't.
But
I'm
as I understand
really...
it, as I understand it, that would be like a level 3 request. Level 1 is a direct request, for lack of a better word. Level 1 is I directly want to donate to her. Level 2 is...
state up front if you don't want an alternative recipient.
Or you can say, if you find a match for her elsewise, I'll agree to donate to him if she'll agree to donate to her. It's kind of like a trade, if you will. So that would be like a level 2. And then a level 3 is, hey, would you donate one to Tom Schmuckmeyer, who you never met in your life? So there's three different levels of commitment.
So you have the option of saying, I'm doing this in case I might be a match for Jenny, but that's it.
If you find a match for Jenny and you find me to be a match with somebody else, you know, a level down, if you will.
And what's the trade? I don't understand trade.
It's called the match program. Trade. You're trading your kidney to somebody in exchange for them agreeing to trade their kidney to the one that you wanted to donate to in the first place. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if they find a match, say Limey is a match for Jenny.
Yep.
Then I agree to give Limey a kidney?
No, you agree to give... What is it?
No, let's say Limey needs a kidney. But
Limey needs a kidney.
But I'm not a match for him.
Right.
But a friend of mine is.
Yeah.
Like
Dan is.
Okay.
So let's say, look, my sister needs a kidney.
Right? No.
You're willing to donate one.
Okay.
But you're not a match for her. But you're a match for some dude in Boston. But his wife is willing to donate a kidney, and she's a match for Jenny. So you agree to give them yours, and they agree to give your partner theirs.
Okay, so you are in a roundabout way still helping Jenny.
Correct. Yeah. It's a trade, if you will. A trade-off.
Okay.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Well, you know, that lasted... I'll tell you what. When you start at 11 o'clock in the morning, you don't make it very long when you're in there. You know, you're pretty much partying throughout the day. I mean, I was in bed by 8 o'clock. I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning Saturday night, and I could not go to sleep.
Oh.
And, I mean, I was just wide awake, right? So YouTube has these videos. YouTube's like Blockbuster now, Dan. You can rent movies. You can rent movies off YouTube now for $5.
Really?
Or unless you're a premium member or whatever. So I rented the Bob Probert story, which was a story about a now-deceased former NHL enforcer. But that was an hour and a half long. Now it's 2:30 in the morning. I still can't go to sleep. And you know what I found that did put me to sleep, Frank? Somebody, when you were talking about...
Masturbation.
Your iPad. No, you talk about...
Yeah.
No, this is something you rarely talk about.
Oh.
When you were talking about... Your experience at Best Buy in 2001, where you went in to take your Kindle back, or you went in to take your Palm Pilot back, and there was a guy there named Muhammad who not only talked you out of not taking your Palm Pilot back, but he talked you into buying a more expensive one. There's a Facebook group out there, I guess it's called Friends of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon, and somebody had archived
fans.
And somebody had archived that show from December of 2001.
Wow.
And it's like the whole hour. And I listened to that. And I listened to you, and this is you 20 years ago, which I didn't really know what you sounded like. You sound pretty much the same. But that put me to sleep listening to that. So
thanks a lot.
Oh, that's just great.
Just kidding. It was actually kind of a funny story. I don't know if you remember telling the story, but
I don't.
You walked in. You had a Palm Pilot and you didn't like it. It was too technologically advanced for you. And you walked into Best Buy and you said, "I want my money back." And some guy there named Muhammad showed you how to work it. And by the time you walked out of Best Buy, you traded that one in and bought a more expensive one and walked out of the store.
Yeah, and probably more complicated. That sounds like me. No, that's funny. Something I would do.
It was funny.
I'm a,
I'm a sucker for a good sales pitch. No, that sounds about right. I wish I could remember all that stuff. It's obviously, I mean, it happened. There's audio of it, but I have no memory of that. Mm-hmm. I do, and I told you this before, I do remember and will be always grateful to the guy at same store, Best Buy, who is the guy who finally said, nah, you don't want that overlay for the glass on your phone. It's just a rip-off, and it's not even as strong as the glass is anyway. It's a waste of money. And I've never bought one since. I don't have a scratch on my phone. And I bought like six of these things. And they bubble up, and they crinkle, and they scratch, yeah. And they look like crap. No, that glass, you'd have to take a diamond to scratch that glass or throw it down and shatter it or something. So I don't know the guy's name, but I'll always be thankful that he told me the truth about these acetate overlays or whatever they are. Was there more?
No, it was a good show, though. That was a good show back then.
No, thank you. No, I mean, was there more for your Burke segment?
No, that's it.
And now anybody else, Burke segment? No, not really.
I do. I have something.
All right. Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much, Frank. We are now the proud owners of a brand new Keurig coffee maker.
You will never be sorry. We have one. This is our third one.
But
and I don't even drink. I drink half a cup of coffee a day, but she makes hot tea in it. You can make hot chocolate in it.
Oh, yeah.
I have
one.
They make one for soups now.
They do?
Yeah. Yeah, not even kidding.
What kind of soup could you get out of a little Keurig cup?
I don't know.
Broth.
I think
it'd have to be broth. Like there's a broth.
Well, no, I think it's going to be like a dried powder in there, and then you just run the hot water through, and then it becomes the soup.
Now, the one that we got, it's pretty cool because you can make your, you know, just one cup if you want to, or we have a carafe over
they
on
all
the
have,
side.
Almost all of the home size have that.
Oh, they do?
Wow, you got the good edition.
Mine doesn't
one,
have
eh?
That.
Yeah, the one, yeah. I just saw ones with just the one cup and everything. We got the one. And it has the carafe. It'll make up to 12 cups, just like a regular pot of coffee.
Yeah, we've never used it, but it came in the box.
Oh, okay.
We don't drink enough coffee to need that.
Oh,
but yeah. That's a good. So what happens? You put, you have to still do it a little cup at a time till you fill the carafe, or does it?
No. It'll fill it up.
Take a bigger.
It fills it up. You fill the water up in the back, and then.
But it fills it up just from one little Keurig coffee pod.
One of those little cups makes
pod. No, not a pod. No, you have to actually put a filter in. It's just like like a Mr. Coffee.
Just having
or
it on the
you
side,
put a filter
right?
in okay. and you dump it.
Doesn't that defeat the whole point of having a Keurig? I mean, you're now doing the same thing you did with your Mr. Coffee or whatever.
Yeah, unless if you want a big pot of coffee, like if you have a bunch of people over or something and you want to make a pot of coffee, then you can. But
why not just let each person make one cup for themselves?
Well, they could, but.
Yeah,
this one is.
Well, I'm not either. I can't appreciate it.
I just like.
I'm serious.
Either
half
or.
A cup a day. I just keep heating up the same cup, and then after an hour or two in the morning, I never really even finished one cup. But for some reason, I've gotten into the habit of I don't even like it, but I'll drink a half cup of coffee, and then of course I load it up with Splenda and creamer, so it doesn't taste like coffee. So.
Oh yeah.
Not sure I know why I even drank it.
And I had
Keurig's one that, like, you know, Mr. Coffee was a big deal. Joe DiMaggio, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That was
a
huge, when that thing came out, oh my goodness, revolutionary. And then here comes Keurig. When you think, well, how could this get any easier? Well, here's how, Keurig. And you ever been in a hotel room like a Comfort Inn? They have the little, single person Keurig thing. It's like a little mini Keurig. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you take half an hour to figure out how to work it. Because it's not like the one you have at home and you do it wrong and you mess it up and you finally read the directions that are there in the motel or hotel and you finally do it right. I guess there was a Mr. Keurig somewhere, like a guy, somebody named or woman named
I don't know.
Keurig.
Yeah,
you know, I stayed at the Hollywood Casino Thursday night. Some friends had a function, and I got a room there Thursday night. You can't steal anything out of the hotel rooms anymore.
No.
There's no lotion or shampoo or nothing to steal anymore. It's all these big bottles that's like behind jail bars and stuff. I was bummed out.
I stayed in the hotel,
true.
And I think it might have been down at St. Genevieve. They had on the table, they had a list. It was like a menu of how much things cost if you took them. It was like towels. They would charge you $10 for a towel.
What?
Oh,
a
yeah.
Towel?
Yeah. Towels. It had the iron. It had, there were a laundry list of things that I guess.
Where was this? Because I don't want to go there. Where was this?
This was a hotel in St. Genevieve.
I have never heard of a charge for towels.
No, they had a menu in case you steal the towels.
Where they charge you afterwards?
Yeah.
Well, and it was that makes sense.
It's like, if you decide to take these items, this is how much we'll charge your card.
Well, of course. Of course they should do that.
But I've never seen that before, like a menu.
So what Tim just said about taking the shampoos, this is one of my favorite stories from when the kids were little. We went to a place in Florida called The Colony, and it was a resort hotel, but they had a fantastic tennis complex, because my wife was a high-level tennis player. My daughter was just perfect. The boys could play on the beach, and my wife could play tennis, and I could just be lazy like I usually am. But in the room, they had, and I think to this day, the best smelling little soap. Those little soaps that are not big enough to take a shower with, but they still put them in there. And it wasn't rectangular or square. It was round, kind of like a miniature hockey puck.
Almost looks like one of those mints in a urinal.
Like a scallop or something. Yeah. Okay. And it was the best smelling soap. So what we would do is they'd leave like three, and we'd use two and then stick one in the luggage. And then I got to thinking, and I thought, you know, they know people take this soap. And by the way, I'm not condoning this or saying it was right, but I got the boys, and I said, hey, and they love the soap too. I said, let's be on the lookout for the cleaning carts. We came home with over 200 of those soaps. No. We used that soap at home for 2 years. It was so great. And I didn't really feel too bad about it, but I should have, because that's excessive. You know, 200 of them.
I've taken things off the cleaning cart and taken them home, like towels and different things.
And they know
like
that. Oh, towels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I stayed at the Greenbrier Hotel one time. I stayed at the Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia, which used to be a secret nuclear underground bunker until the Washington Post outed it, and now it's a big tourist facility. The PGA plays a tournament there every other year on the PGA Tour. There's two golf courses there, and my girlfriend had paid for the room, and I took a robe, and she took one too, and they sent her a bill for
$400.
Well,
nice robes. Wow.
Well, I'm sure they were, but I think that's another level from the little bars of soap.
I agree. Right?
Yeah, that robe. And how do you get that shoved into a bag and get the thing to close shut? Oh, nice robes are thick.
I know, and that was my job, was to do that. I had to shove them in half and put them in her suitcase, mm-hmm. carry it out to the car, and then empty them and put them in the trunk of the car, and then go back in and put our regular clothes in the bag. She made me do the dirty work.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, she may have made you do the dirty work, but wisely, you put them in her bag. So if you got busted, she goes to jail.
Correct.
She goes, officer, that's not my bag. That's hers. Man, she must have stolen
them. Yeah. I have several towels at home that say Ryu on them.
There's a great joke.
What's Ryu?
It's a resort.
A resort.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a big, big resort chain down there. There's a great joke about a guy who, a burglar breaks into this guy's house, and while the burglar's there, and we've all seen these stories where he helps himself to some soup, opens up a can of soup, takes a nap, takes a shower, you know, and then the guy gets home. It's obvious somebody's been there and they broke in the house. And so he calls the police, and the police come out, and he's saying, yeah, look, you got to catch this guy. He says, what is it with these people who just think they can steal anything? This guy stole my favorite towel. It had Marriott on it. Dan, was there anything else?
I had to have some blood work done today, and I want to tell the lady that did the stuck the needle in my arm was tremendous.
Well, we've all had bad and good.
Oh, man, I had one time, this lady was sticking my arm four or five times, and she goes, I cannot get a vein.
My record is seven.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and after seven, you know, I told her, I said, we're done. Get me somebody else, please. You're not sticking me again.
I said, stop. Stop. And some lady walked by, and she came in, and she said, what's going on? I said, my arm is ready to fall off. She can't find the vein. And she went to my other arm, and she says, let me try. And she popped right in.
Yeah.
So this lady today was tremendous, because I told her right up front, I said, some of the people that have taken blood from me have had to use those butterfly needles before, that they use
on butterfly
kids.
Needle?
They use on kids. It's like a little needle that's butterflied out, and it actually finds the veins a little easier.
Huh.
Yeah. And she says, no.
You know what you need to do? You need to go to the gym and start working out. You ever see those guys? They got bulging veins.
Yeah.
Those gym rats. Those guys that live in the gym.
Steroids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those guys. They've got giant. In fact, you wonder if the guy ever bumps his arm, he's going to bleed to death.
I know.
Big old bulging veins coming out of his biceps, and the forearms have big veins in them.
Yeah.
I don't have that, and that's why I chose not to work out. I thought I don't want those big bulging veins, so I didn't work out.
Who needs
that?
Safety hazard.
Who needs that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I don't have them. So there you go.
That was it.
Limey leaves you. Anything?
Nah, I got nothing.
How's that Theo doing?
He's doing absolutely amazing. Growing. Going to be hanging out later on tonight. They're staying with me, obviously.
Can he eat Doritos yet? Is he old enough to eat Doritos?
He is not. We've got about another, I'd say, 2 months and a week or two before I can start giving him solid foods.
I've never had children. Frank, I'm curious to your answer to this as well, and even Dan. You have your first child, and I've seen couples who will secretly work with the child to try and make that child's first word their name instead of the other person's name. like say mama instead of dada, and
right.
Like work with it secretly to try and get the kid to do that. Are you doing that, or Frank, did you ever do that?
No, never did that. In fact, I can tell you the first names of each of the three, the first words each of the three kids spoke.
What?
The very first word. Light, ball, and Coke.
Wow.
Because my wife drinks Coca-Cola, and our little kid, whichever one it was, kept hearing Coke, give me a Coke, bring me a cold Coke. One said Coke, one said light, and one said ball. Dan, do you have any memory of what your kid said was the first word?
The first word? Oh, my God. No.
Theo's actually just started laughing now. Like, he chuckles, and it's adorable. Not going to lie. So, yeah.
First word.
He's nice. Starting to do stuff.
I think my son said, where's your wallet?
try to make a note to like just capture whatever that first, remember that first word.
I'll try. Cause
that's, I don't know why it's not a big deal. It doesn't mean anything. It's just kind of interesting that that's the word they. But Tim's got a point. There are people who do try to. It's like a contest. Will he say dad first or mama?
Oh,
who's going to win? Who cares? But they're out there, those people.
My daughter, when she first started talking, and then it's like you could, she would try and mimic other people. And I gave my sister for Christmas, I gave her one of those fake lottery tickets.
I remember
and
those.
She thought she won $10,000. Then she turned around and she figured it out pretty quick. And she said,
he didn't speak to you.
No, she said, you are a son of a bitch. Like that. And I'm like, what?
Well, this is first word. Dang, it's a bitch.
Oh, yeah. She kept going, dumb bitch, dumb bitch, dumb bitch, dumb bitch. I'm like, no.
They're like little parrots.
Yeah.
And by the way, folks, anybody out there thinking of firing off a letter to the FCC, it's not something we say a lot, but you can say son of a bitch. It's not illegal. And the reason I say that is this. When my second son was in the car with my late great father-in-law, what a great guy, but he cursed a little bit, not a lot. And my kids grew up in a non-cursing house. So they're in the car. And my father-in-law's car didn't have air conditioning, so the windows are down. And my father-in-law was like a lot of people. He'd be that guy who, in traffic, he would out loud say in the car, "Hey, turn on your blinker, you dumb bastard!" Stuff like that. So on this particular day, my son's in the car with him, and my father-in-law actually told us this later. Some guy did something in traffic. And my father-in-law said, dumb son of a bitch. Just like he was kind of saying, they pull up to a light and that same guy is next to them with his windows down, and my son leans out the window and yells to this other driver, "You dumb son of a bitch!" Oh, man. So be careful what you say.
Oh, yeah.
Little kids are in the car.
When I was a teenager, my dad used to pick me up for weekend visits, and he was taking me back to my mom's house, and we were in a convertible, and we were having a kind of a quiet moment. It was about a 45-minute drive, and this woman pulls up next to us, and she was a large woman in her 20s, and she
Let me stop you. First of all, how old were you?
In my teens.
And who had the convertible?
Early teens. My dad.
Whoa, that's a cool man. How many dads have a convertible?
Well, he was a car salesman. Every time he picked me up, it was a new car. Every time he picked me up, it was the new car smell for my entire life. So he was in a convertible, whatever we were driving. It was a two-seater, I remember that. I think it was an MG. And this woman pulls up next to us, and Dad and I were kind of having a quiet moment. I'm on like a mile from my mom's house, and he's dropped me off. And this woman sticks her left arm out of the driver's window, and she's got a cigarette in her hand, and she's wearing a short-sleeve shirt. And there's about a 10-inch wide chunk of flab, of upper arm flab.
I can see it now.
That's just laying up against the car as she's smoking a cigarette outside, right? And so we're at a red light, and we're just both sitting there staring ahead, not really saying a word. And my dad looks over at this woman, and he goes, "Get your fat arm back in that car!" And he turns around and looks straight. And meanwhile, I look right to see who he's yelling at, and she thinks it's me. And then the light turns green. He takes off, and I go, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Son, I wanted to teach you the difference between a spin and a label. I spun her and labeled you. That's how you spin and label somebody."
Wow.
So
let me show you what it means to throw your own kid under the bus.
Yeah.
Basically. Here's how it works.
Oh, man, if that woman looks could kill, I would not have made it to college. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Oh, the
man, I had a thing for a while in my 20s for MGs. Oh, not the MG Midget. It was too small. The MGB.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
I thought that thing, it just something about it, and I've told this before, I'll tell it quickly. Paul Cerami was the dealer, I'll never forget this. He was a Jaguar MG dealer, and I'm nearby, and I have a disease anyway, so he sees me, and I think it was actually him, in the parking lot, just looking around, and I'm just kind of looking at everything, but he could tell I'm kind of walking around two or three times this MG convertible. He says, "You like that car?" I said, "Yeah." I said, I do. I've always kind of found them intriguing. It'd be nice to have one. He goes, "Well, take it for a spin." I said, "No." I said, "That wouldn't be right because I know that I'm not going to buy one." He said, "Well, why is that?" I said, "Because you can't trust them. You can't depend on them." I said, "I've heard all the horror stories about these British cars, the electrical systems." He goes, "Oh," he says, "Young man, that was true years ago, but it is no longer true. That's all been dealt with." And he just tosses me the keys. He goes, "Look," he says, "you got a girlfriend? Are you married?" I said, "No, I'm married. And I've been married like 2 years. He said, "Why don't you take it and pick her up, take a little spin. It's a nice day. That top is already down. Run around a little while, see what you think." I said, "No, I'm just scared of him." He says, "Listen to me. Those days are over." I take the car. We lived right behind Pheasant Run in Maryland Heights, and I took it home, and I parked right on the street, and I ran in the house. My wife was like Saturday. I said, "Hey, I come out here. We'll take a ride. I got this neat car out here." So she comes out, and we get in. It won't start. It absolutely will not start. So I call the dealer, and I said, they send a mechanic out. He can't start it. So when I go back by the dealership later that day, and I see whoever it was that dealt with, either the owner or somebody, and I said, "Hey, remember me?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Oh, man." I said, "Would you tell me that part again, how that's not an issue with electric? Repeat that part about how all that's been fixed." He said, "Oh," I said, "I feel so bad that happened." He said, "That was an isolated rant." And I said, "Right." And that was it. I never looked at another one that did it for me. But I'll never forget that had to be so humiliating for him after that speech about how, oh, they're dependable. But I'd always heard you need to be a mechanic because if the barometric pressure changes, the thing, it might not start or wouldn't run rough. Or remember those days when cars ran what they called rough?
Oh, yeah. Was the carburetor running lean or
the distributor cap could have moisture in it. Those days, yeah. Thank goodness, are over. And somebody asked me a question just yesterday, about this is a friend who has a place, a vacation place on the ocean. And she said, we're thinking about keeping a car down there, but I'm just afraid of the salt air and the rust. And I said, when's the last time you saw a car rust? In the last 15 years, any car 15 years old, probably even older, with rust on it. She said, well, I never thought about it, but none. I said, no, they don't rust anymore. But that used to be a problem. They'd say, never buy a car from somebody who lived in Myrtle Beach or somewhere because the salt air would eat into it and rust it. And it's true. Jeeps, especially, like the real Jeep Wranglers, they always had rust on them. Most pickup trucks had rust on them.
Oh, and that fender well and stuff?
The fender well was the worst. I bought my second son. The second vehicle I ever bought him was a Ford Explorer, and it was the Eddie Bauer edition.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody didn't let us in on or disclose to us that the previous owner had painted over some rusty and patched some rust, and he didn't have it a month, and that stuff starts coming off, and there's a, like you said, the fender, the wheel well, just eaten up with rust. Now, you don't see that anymore. The metal they use, what metal there is, doesn't rust. Let me do a quick bit of business. We'll come back. We'll pick this up. I see, let me talk to Brian real quickly, and then we'll do some business. So, Brian, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hey, thanks. AM and PM. Thanks.
That's our Brian, our regular, we'll just call him regular Brian.
What's RB.
Thanks for having me.
RB.
I was going to go into a story, but just remind you guys, changed my mind. When we test drove a car quite a few years ago, it was a brand new vehicle, the car broke down during the test drive.
Oh,
so they had to, during the drive. And so the
dealer, was the salesman with you?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, even better.
Back seat. Yeah,
even
so anyway.
Better.
Anyway, you did it.
I can't believe it is. So we got back to the dealership. The guy tried to do a deal for the car, and I'm like, I was basically saying, look, the thing broke down during the test drive. We're done. And he kept trying to, talk us into doing a deal. Well, that was that car. It wasn't, that was that issue. And I won't say what the dealership was, but it was quite funny. And then secondly, how you've said over the years, you don't like when people call you boss. I don't like that either.
I don't like it at all.
Thursday night, we went out to dinner down in Clayton for an anniversary, and so when we were down there, the waiter kept calling me boss, so I finally said, stop, please just call me Brian, you don't have to call me boss. So then he started to call my wife boss and to call me Brian, and so I had to go to the manager, and I said, can we get somebody else? This guy's being a smartass, but he kept calling me boss all night, so then, like I said, his way of getting back, I guess, was to call my wife boss.
Well, that was a stupid thing to do. No, he's being a jerk. It's a stupid thing to do. It's a millennial thing. Okay, boss. And they don't mean anything by it, but I don't like it. I just never... It's almost like they're being...
Condescending.
Exactly. Like, well, I'm working here as a waiter, and you're the customer, so you're my boss. But I know they don't really mean it. It's just something...
The final bill was $200, so it was not a cheap... place, so it was actually a really nice for two people, $200.
Yeah.
So, and we don't drink a lot, so it was like a special restaurant. And it didn't ruin the night. I just thought it was funny. He kept going, "Hey, boss, how you doing, boss?" And after the fifth or sixth time,
well, that's overkill. Too many.
Should have said, "I'm real good, a-hole."
just today, Brian, I was in the UPS store in Washington. Brian, just today, I was in the Washington, Missouri UPS store getting a document notarized with a young female, and the woman behind the counter had the name tag Brian on, B-R-I-A-N. I'm like, oh, God, is this going to be
transgender?
Is this one of these I'm identifying as Brian today kind of thing? So I didn't say a word. But the young lady that I was with couldn't help herself. And after about 2 minutes, this happened this morning. After about 2 minutes, she looks at her and she goes, is your name really Brian? And the girl goes, no, my name's Clarissa, but I couldn't find my name tag, so I just put this one on. It's like, why would you do that?
That's stupid.
Why would people gonna call you Brian all day?
I thought you were going to say, the girl said, is your name really Brian? And then this person with the name tag, the woman said, no, it's really Charles.
Yeah. I'm Steve.
Yeah, and then she said, hey, I'm AM and the PM. Are you Tim Woodford?
Oh,
good. That was me working in the story.
Yeah, got it.
All right, Brian. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for letting me go on. Have fun. Bye.
Well, thank you. We let anybody on here. We're not, you know, it's all comers, as they say. First Community Credit Union. That's my banking facility. It's a very successful place because they know what to do to make customers happy. The number one thing you have to do is be competitive with your rates. Whether somebody's borrowing money or they're saving money, you have to stay on top of the rates because I got to think there are only really two reasons people change, you know, banking facilities. One is they find out another place has better rates. Or two, they just flat out don't like the service, the way they're treated there. Those have to be, because anymore it's not so much location. It used to be before there was online banking, and a lot of banks years and years ago, believe it or not, you youngsters didn't even have drive-through. So, you know, you had to go in, and if it was inconvenient and far away, that would have been a reason. It's not a reason anymore. First Community Credit Union has over 40 locations, and even if the closest one of those to you is 20 miles away, you rarely will go in there. You do your banking online, on the phone, in the mail, whatever. It's a great place to bank for those and a lot of other reasons, and they're also sponsors of the yard sale. I hope you got a chance Saturday morning, folks, to enjoy, and enjoy is the key word there, the yard sale. There are shows like that around the country called Tradio or Swap and Shop or Garage Sale, Yard Sale, and they're just pretty cut and dried. Hey, caller, what do you got? For sale, $36. Okay, thank you. What's your phone number? And it's just boom, 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 boom. This one is sort of yard sale slash storytelling slash great regular listeners and callers. It's a lot of different things rolled into the yard sale. It's the only one of its type, and it's 7 to 9 o'clock every Saturday morning right here on 590. The Fan, I mention it because it has one sponsor, First Community Credit Union. Great place to bank. Other than that, it's kind of up to you. Look into it. Check it out. Do us a favor. Think about it. It's not a big deal to change where you bank. If you moved tomorrow, you'd do it. You do it probably because you felt like you had to because you're leaving town or leaving the state. Don't wait for that excuse. Do it now and you'll be glad you did. First Community Credit Union. You can find out more at firstcommunity.com. Is this another Brian on the phone? Is this another Brian?
I believe so.
Yes.
Wow, what are the chances? Brian Twinspin. Hey, Brian, welcome to 590 Twins. The Fan. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing terrific. What's going on?
I'm AM and PM.
That's good to know. Thank you.
Hey, I just thought of a funny story you were talking about, like carburetors and points and all that kind of stuff. I remember back 100 years ago when me and a buddy of mine were 19 years old and we just got a wild hair. And we're like, hey, let's throw some stuff in the back of the truck and take a drive out to Colorado. So we drive out there and we're going up in the mountains. And once we got in the mountains, we're going like 10 miles an hour, and everybody's just zooming past us and like raising their, like flipping us off and like pulling over to the shoulder, get off the road, you know? And we're like, why can't we go fast? Why isn't we speeding up? Because we didn't realize we were too, I guess, dumb or whatever, that we were mile high. And with the carburetor back then, you had to, everybody out there had their carburetors adjusted to, you know,
to compensate for the. Right, for the
more
pressure.
Rich. Yeah, to be
and
rich.
By, and by the no way, idea. Brian, by the way, Brian, you and 1,000 other people wouldn't have known that. I would not have known it if you don't live out there. You drive into a different part of the country, and yeah, you know, unless you're a mechanic. And I think it's just a simple readjustment of the air-to-fuel ratio or something.
Yeah, that's all it was. We ran into somebody out there because, like, we don't know what's going on. Everybody's sitting there yelling at us and flipping us off. And he goes, oh, just because you're from Missouri, you're way too high out here. But at the time, I thought it was just funny, you know.
Now, Brian, if you go to Colorado now, you'll be too high. But it's not because of the altitude. So, how old were you when you did this?
We were 19.
Wouldn't you love to be able to go back and do something like that again? Just toss some stuff in the truck, get a buddy, and go, let's just go. Let's just go.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was just, like I said, just wild hair. We just, let's do it. Let's go to Colorado. Like, all right, let's go.
Man, I wish I'd done something like that. I never got a chance to. Good for you. That's a great memory, and unfortunately, a kind of thing you'll probably never be able to do again. Hey, man, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Frank. Take care.
You bet. Okay, Brian. Let's go to Kathleen. Kathleen, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Frank, how are you?
I'm terrific. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to say happy birthday to my boyfriend, Rich. He's turning 49 today.
Nope. Can't let you do it.
Rich?
I wish we could, but let me read you from the 590 handbook, just so you know I'm not making this up. Page 14, paragraph 3, line 7. Under no circumstances are air personalities, that's us, allowed to let listeners spout off, is the way they put it, personal messages over the airwaves. These airwaves are not here so that people can wish each other happy anniversary or happy birthday. Anyone caught doing this will be terminated immediately from KFNS 590 The Fan. So that's the reason we can't let you say happy birthday to Rich. Hope you understand.
Oh, darn boy. It. Well, so, I'm trying to go old school and do it over the radio instead of Facebook.
And he's 49.
I wish we could. I wish we could.
Well, thank you very much, because I am in the PM.
Well, I hope you still will be, even with these strict rules. I hope you'll stay with us.
Yes, I do appreciate it, Frank.
Well, thank
you,
Kathleen.
Thank you, guys.
Kathleen, real quickly, how old are you?
I am 51.
Favorite age.
Oh,
you guys remember just before the show today when I was talking about that?
Yeah, I remember 51, specifically.
Hey, Kathleen, do you, you read a lot of magazines? Most women read magazines, several magazines. Do you get the magazine 51 Sex is Fun? Do you get that magazine? It's a great publication.
I love it. I don't have to read it.
Whoa! Hey, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, happy birthday, Rich.
Yeah, no kidding. Take your vitamins, buddy. You may need them tonight.
Change my name to Rich Woodburn.
Kathleen, good for you. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. I live it. Good answer. Shoot, I don't have enough time to talk to... I can talk to Jim for 1 minute. If that's not enough time, he can call back. Jim, welcome, 590 The Fan. I got a minute. It's yours. Go.
Real quick, Frank, I want to tell you a quick story about when you bought a car. The first car ever brand new I bought was a 75 Plymouth Duster. And you remember when Chrysler was going all through the problems in the mid-70s and everything where they couldn't sell cars.
Yep.
Well, I bought this car brand new off the lot with a 318 in it. Frank, in the first month I was doing my calculations on the gas mileage, I was getting less than 8 miles to the gallon in this car.
Yeah.
But here are the other two kickers, Frank. The first time I ran through the car wash, I'm sitting there, you know, just relaxing, run through the car wash, and all of a sudden I've got water coming through the right on the passenger side all over the floor mat through the firewall. And then, starting 2 weeks later, I had rust starting to grow around the back of the back window on this car. Got rid of it a month later. Like you say, there are lemons out there, and I think I got the biggest lemon in the world. I just want to pass you on what a bad experience it was. Take care. Thanks for taking my call. Listen to your comments.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. And he said that was a brand new car.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the good old rust days. Okay, Window World. Here's another thing you don't have to worry about rusting, because they're vinyl. Window World. I don't think anybody really worries about rusting windows, because if they're wood, they don't rust. I guess maybe some metal frame windows, but not anymore. Here's what you do need to worry about. Overpaying for windows. And people do it every day. They do it every day. They're sold a bill of goods. Some slick-talking salesperson convinces them they need to pay $600 or $800 per window. No, you don't. No, you don't. Window World. There are several reasons this is the number one selling replacement window in the country. And I think, I'm not calling you foolish, but I think you probably are being very foolish if you don't include Window World when you're looking at windows when the time comes to replace them. Why wouldn't you? Far and away, this by far, number two is not even close. This is the biggest selling window in the country. Wouldn't you be interested to find out why? I think you would. You may not be in the market today or tomorrow, but when you are, you know what to do. Contact Window World, and please, for goodness sakes, tell them your AM and the PM and how it is that you came to call them. We would appreciate that. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com if you want more information. Josh Bauman. Dan Buff is in tomorrow. Josh Bauman will join us at 4 o'clock hour. If you have any tech issues, something driving you nuts, something you can't figure out, or something you want to share with us, like a really cool app that you discovered, any of that, you're welcome to call. Throw the numbers at you right after the news. Welcome aboard, everybody. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
Tune in Tuesday at 5:30 as Illinois takes on Penn State.
590 KFNS Wood River.